You know, the Bible is not a collection of disconnected stories. From Genesis to the Gospel of Christ, God's Word reveals one united plan. In our previous lesson, we studied the fall of man and the entrance of sin. We saw that sin entered the world through disobedience to God's command. We saw the shame, fear, sorrow, separation, and death that followed in the previous lesson. But Genesis 3 does not leave us only with the darkness of sin. In the same chapter where sin entered, God gave the first promise of victory over the serpent. The purpose of this lesson is not to reteach the fall of man. We covered that material last week. Today, we want to focus on the promise itself, first announced in the Garden of Eden, carried forward through Abraham, preserved through the promised line, and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. A simple way to remember the lesson is this: sin brought the need, God gave the promise, Abraham received the promise, Christ fulfilled the promise. Before we move to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the Christ, we must begin where God first spoke words of hope after sin entered. The promise began in Eden. The first promise of redemption is found in God's word to the serpent. Though brief, Genesis 3:15 points forward to a great victory. To understand the first promise, we must listen carefully to what God said in Eden. God promised conflict between the serpent and the seed. After sin entered the world, God spoke words of judgment against the serpent. But in that judgment, God also revealed hope. God said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. Enmity means hostility, opposition, conflict. Seed means offspring or descendant. God said there would be spiritual conflict between the serpent and the woman, and between the serpent's seed and her seed. This was not merely conflict with a snake, but conflict with Satan's purpose. Bruise thy head points to a decisive defeat of the serpent. Bruise his heel points to suffering, but not final defeat. This was the first promise of redemption. God did not reveal every detail in this one verse, but he did reveal that the serpent would not have the final victory. Genesis 3:15 is like the first light after a dark night. The whole plan of redemption was not yet fully explained. God had not yet named Abraham. He had not yet revealed Israel, the law of Moses, Bethlehem, Calvary, or Pentecost. But God did reveal hope. The serpent would wound, but the promised seed would win. A wounded heel is painful, but a crushed head is decisive. God promised conflict between the serpent and the seed of woman. The seed would suffer, but the serpent would be defeated. This was the first promise of victory. Later, Scripture helps us see that the victory belongs to God's plan. God promised victory over Satan. Near the end of the book of Romans, Paul used language that reminds us of the victory first promised in Genesis 3:15. He said, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Romans 16:20. God of peace shows that victory comes from God. Bruise Satan reminds us of the defeat promised against the serpent. Grace means God's favor, giving us what we need and not what we deserve. Satan may oppose God's people, but he cannot overthrow God's purpose. A child may not understand every detail of a long journey, but if his father says, "I know the way," the child has reason to trust. In Genesis 3:15, God began revealing that he knew the way of redemption. Man had sinned, but God spoke hope. Satan had deceived, but God promised victory. God promised victory over the serpent. Romans 16:20 reminds us that Satan's defeat belongs to the power and purpose of God. The promise began in Eden. After sin entered the world, God did not leave man without hope. He promised that the seed of woman would bruise a serpent's head. This was the first promise of redemption. The promise began in Eden, but God continued revealing more. The promise was carried forward through Abraham. God did not change his plan when he called Abraham. He carried the promise forward and began showing the family line through which the blessing would come. In this lesson, we are not studying Abraham's personal faith. God willing, that will be considered in our next lesson. Here, our focus is the promise God gave through Abraham. Next, we need to see that God promised blessing through Abraham, but not for Abraham's family only. God promised blessing for all families. Genesis 12 records God's call to Abram. God commanded him to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house, but the promise God gave was larger than Abram himself. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Bless means to show favor and give good according to God's purpose. Great nation points to the nation that would come from Abraham. All families of the earth shows that God's purpose was worldwide. The promise was not limited to one household or one nation. Genesis 12 is not only about Abraham moving from one place to another, it is about God carrying forward the promise of his blessing. Imagine a letter that begins in one place but is meant to be delivered far away. Abraham received the promise, but the blessing was intended to reach all nations. God said, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God promised Abraham that all families of the earth would be blessed through him. This promise shows that God's plan of redemption was intended to reach all people. The New Testament helps us understand God's promise to Abraham looked forward to the gospel. Paul explained that the promise spoken to Abraham looked ahead to gospel blessing. He said in the scripture, "Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, 'In thee shall all nations be blessed.'" Galatians 3 and verse 8. Foreseeing means scripture looked ahead according to God's purpose. Justify means to count right before God. Heathen refers to the Gentiles. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham means the promise to Abraham pointed forward to gospel blessing. God's promise to Abraham was bigger than Abraham's tent, bigger than Abraham's family, and bigger than one nation. When God said, "In thee shall all nations be blessed," he was pointing forward to the gospel of Christ. The promise began in Eden, but now God was making the promise clearer. God's promise to Abraham looked forward to the gospel. The blessing promised through Abraham was part of God's plan to justify people of all nations through Christ. In this lesson, Abraham is not mainly presented as the example of faith. He is presented as the one through whom God carried forward the promise of redemption. God gave the promise to Abraham, but the promise did not stop with Abraham. The promise was preserved through the promised line, through the promised genealogy. God's promise continued from Abraham through his descendants. This shows that God was preserving his plan from generation to generation. God connected the blessing to Abraham's seed. The Bible says, "And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice," Genesis 22 and verse 18. Seed means descendant or offspring. All the nations show the worldwide reach of the promise. The blessing would come through Abraham's seed. God was carrying forward the promise, first spoken in Eden. Genesis 3:15 spoke of the seed of woman. Genesis 22:18 speaks of Abraham's seed. God was not changing plans, he was revealing more of the same plan. At first, the promise was broad, the seed of woman. Then it became clearer, Abraham's seed. God connected the blessing to Abraham's seed. This shows that the promise of redemption was moving forward through a chosen line. After Abraham, God repeated the promise through Isaac and Jacob. Isaac was the son of promise. God spoke to Isaac and repeated the promise that had been given to Abraham. God said, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," Genesis 26 and verse 4. Multiply means to increase greatly. Seed refers to descendants while keeping the promise line moving forward. All the nations shows that the promise still had worldwide purpose. God was preserving the same promise through Isaac. Later, God repeated the promise through Jacob. The same promise of worldwide blessing continued. God said, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Genesis 28:14. Dust of the earth points to great increase. West, east, north, and south show spreading outward. All the families of the earth repeats the worldwide blessing. God was continuing the same promise through Jacob. The promise moved from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. This was not an accident. God was preserving his word. It is like turning on lights one room at a time. Each light helps us see more clearly where we are going. Genesis 3:15 gives the first light. Genesis 12 gives more light. Genesis 22, 26, and 28 keep showing the promise moving forward. God preserved the promise through the promised line. The promise was given to Abraham, connected to Abraham's seed, repeated through Isaac, and repeated through Jacob. God's plan was moving forward according to his own faithfulness. The promise began in Eden, was carried forward through Abraham, and was preserved through the promised line. Now we must ask the most important question: who is the promised seed, and how are all nations blessed through him? The promise was fulfilled in Christ. The Bible does not leave us guessing about the promised seed. The New Testament plainly identifies him. Christ is the promised seed. Paul directly explains the promise made to Abraham and his seed. He said, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ," Galatians 3 and verse 16. Promises refers to what God has spoken to Abraham. Seed points to one promised descendant. Christ means the anointed one. Paul plainly says the promised seed is Christ. The Bible is like one road leading to one Savior. Genesis 3:15 points to the seed of woman. Genesis 12 and 22 connect the blessing to Abraham and his seed. Genesis 3:16 names the seed Christ. God's promise was not forgotten. It was fulfilled in Jesus. Christ is the promised seed. He is the one through whom the blessing promised to Abraham comes to all nations. Since Christ is the promised seed, we must now see what blessing he brings. Christ brings the blessing of turning men from sin. Peter connected Jesus directly to the promise made to Abraham. He also explained the kind of blessing Christ brings. He said, "Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his Son Jesus, and sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Acts 3, 25 and 26. Covenant refers to God's established promise. Kindreds means families or peoples. Bless here is explained as turning people away from their iniquities. Iniquities means sin or lawless actions. The blessing is not merely earthly comfort. The blessing is salvation from sin through Christ. Some people think of blessing only as earthly comfort, health, money, or ease. But Peter shows the greater blessing. Christ blesses by turning people away from iniquities. The greatest problem is sin. The greatest blessing is salvation from sin through Christ. Christ fulfills the promise by bringing the blessing of salvation. He turns men away from sin and provides the true blessing promised through Abraham's seed. If the blessing is in Christ, then we must see how people become connected to Christ and the promise. Those who are Christ are heirs according to the promise. Paul explains that those who are baptized into Christ are connected to Abraham's promise. He said, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3, 26 through 29. By faith in Christ Jesus shows that salvation is in Christ. Baptized into Christ shows how one enters into Christ. Put on Christ means being clothed with Christ. Heirs according to the promise means sharing in the blessing God promised through Abraham. A promise is not fully enjoyed until it is received. God promised blessing through Abraham's seed. That seed is Christ. The gospel tells all nations how to come into Christ and receive the blessing. The blessing is not received by being physically related to Abraham. It is received by belonging to Christ. Paul says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Those who are in Christ are heirs according to the promise. The promise began in Eden, was carried through Abraham, finds its fulfillment in Christ, and is received by those who belong to Him. The promise was fulfilled in Christ. Jesus is the promised seed. Through Him, the blessing promised to Abraham comes to all nations. Those who are baptized into Christ, put on Christ, and become heirs according to the promise. Biblical baptism is how people become connected to Christ and the promise. From Eden to Abraham, from Abraham to the promised line, and from the promised line to Christ, God's Word reveals one united plan of redemption. Some lessons learned. Sin brought the need for redemption. Man sinned, but God did not leave mankind without hope. God gave the first promise in Eden. Genesis 3:15 shows that the serpent would not have the final victory. The promise centered on the seed. God spoke of the seed of woman and later of Abraham's seed. God carried the promise through Abraham. Through Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. God preserved the promise through the promised line. The promise continued through Isaac and Jacob. Christ is the promised seed. Galatians 3:16 plainly says, "Thy seed, which is Christ." The gospel is for all nations. The blessing promised through Abraham is clearly fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Imagine seeing a small stream at the beginning of a journey. As you follow, it grows wider and wider until it becomes a mighty river. Genesis 3:15 is like the first stream of promise. Genesis 12 makes it wider. The promise through Isaac and Jacob keeps the stream moving. Then in Christ, the promise becomes full and clear. The promise that began in Eden was carried through Abraham and was fulfilled in Christ and must now be received in Christ. If we would be connected to the promised seed and share in the promised blessing, we must belong to Christ. And Paul tells us how, as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. And if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3 and verse 29. Some say baptism is non-essential, but if every spiritual blessing is in Christ, Ephesians 1:3, and if Paul says we are baptized into Christ, then we must ask, by what scripture does one enter Christ without baptism. The promise is not received by standing outside of Christ and admiring it. It is received by obedient faith when one is baptized into Christ, puts on Christ, belongs to Christ, and becomes Abraham's seed, an heir according to the promise. The lesson is yours. It is the Lord who invites, and we await to assist. Won't you come without delay while we stand and while we sing?
Number 888. Let's sing the first, second, and last of 888. First, second, last. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?